That's gonna be the main car. I own him the big old. You know, the marshal usually brings them, and very often the marshal goes with his family so that a woman is present. And this occurred with a good number of the women. In fact, in some instances, sort of a friendship was struck up between the prisoner and the marshal and the family. In other instances, very sharp battles took place because the marshal and the wife were inhuman people, and you find both elements, both one sense and the others. But I think we can leave those, and maybe you'll ask questions about individuals.
Oh. chair. It's part of being there at the end. We'll do it by yourself.
Put it back in the beginning and you and I go on door.
Thank you. riesco con sombrero y pantalón.
Part of the storehouse that I was worked in, and then weigh it up. The most difficult thing to carry was the brown sugar, which turned to which became very hard, and it was almost like dead weight. After a while, I complained that it was too much for me to try to carry bags of this character, and I was finally, I had someone else carry a 100-pound bag with me. But you reach the stage sometimes where you do it and don't feel free to just call somebody to help you every time you have to carry a bag. That I didn't realize that the judge had sentenced me to 2 years in hard labor, because actually that's what it was. Nevertheless,
a very large number of these people
require the particularly that kind of treatment, and its absence created all sorts of problems. Why they don't have a psychiatrist, I don't know, except it is my understanding after discussing it with people on the outside that psychiatrists don't like to come to places of this character because the pay is low. And main men and women who would recognize how important this sort of an approach is. So that the second problem that I consider of key importance, because I feel that you cannot approach the problem of these women here without recognizing the many abnormal attitudes towards life without adequate psychiatric aid, and its absence is disastrous insofar as the institution is concerned. That's the second point. The third point is their school program that I consider should be looked into and corrected. Outwardly, there is a very attractive school building which has a larger auditorium that is used for the used for movies, the church rites, special religious celebrations, etc. And the library is also in this building. And then there are many school classrooms. They also get up-to-date texts, which are based on the more modern routine forms of education. In other words, the English textbooks have problems and you have to answer them within the textbook. The books are arranged in the school. The most successful class, and the class which is given the greatest build-up, is the class in successful living. And this attempts by combining certain of the healthy sentiments of religion with life, and is primarily intended to strengthen religious faith and living according to religion. Almost every person is encouraged to take that class. Then they have classes which prepare young women to complete their public school education or a high school education. That was grammar school, and I was corrected on that, grammar school and high school. When I was a kid, grammar school also teach these classes, obviously, because there's not enough teachers for it. And here's where a very serious problem arises. In many instances, these inmates are not well-informed people. But their most serious problem is that they do not know how to handle people. And being an inmate are accepted only on that level by the students. The result is that the classes, three-fourths of the classes, as I indicated before, were merely places for dates and not for actual study. But the teachers as well do not have an individual approach to the inmates. In their teaching methods, show no interest whatsoever in encouraging knowledge, and therefore do not stimulate the desire to learn among the students.
During the entire time that I was there, I have until this day to find one person whose interest for knowledge was stimulated by the instructors of the inmates. If they went, it was because they themselves realized that perhaps this is the way they can finally change their way of life, or because they had met in the institution some women who encouraged them to do it. Now, we did it very widely, telling people to go to these classes, and a woman who has a great learning in herself, but she's just rather old now. She's been in the institution for several decades, at least two, and has conformed with the institution rather than allowing what are some very fine characteristics that she has to penetrate or to be transmitted to the show, and not something which really has the objective of teaching and training young people to recognize what a great riches exists in life if they would only open their eyes. Even at the desk in the library, with the exception of one person who watches who comes in and goes out, are all inmates, most of whom have done very little reading. Some have. But do not, I have found that a number of those who have had a college education, and by the way, these are very few in a women's institution, generally adopt a somewhat snobbish attitude and contempt for the others, and therefore do not give to the other inmates what they themselves have. It is a very rare inmate that concerns herself with helping another one on what to read and how to improve their general knowledge through reading. Going up to that library, and while at first I was struck by its poverty-stricken character, and nevertheless, after going there week in and week out, and you get a one-hour period once a week, three fiction and two others, I discovered some riches in that, some real treasures in that library, and found I could keep myself busy with the books in the library for the entire period that I was there. But then I knew what I was looking for. The average person who comes in there doesn't. What is their school system? The kind of approach that one must have to stimulate the desire for knowledge of awakening the curiosity and the interest of these people and approaching them on a more individual basis than on this average, which is generally looked down with contempt on the part of those who lead these schools. Was what is offered the women insofar as preparing them for the outside? And, well, to take people of this type and give them an appreciation of the dignity of work. Because you found in the institution the overwhelming majority of these young people who had always run away from work and who looked towards earning a living through other means rather than by working. And most of them were without training. Now it's true, there were some who had professional training who were in Alderson, but these were a minimal percentage. You cannot create the feeling of dignity for work when you give the perspective of menial work as the only thing a woman can do. And this is precisely the point that enraged me, at any rate. Now there are also some women who, who've had white collar training, stenographers, typists. Again, they're in the minority. You think in the office, and I'll deal with that in a minute. Now, when you first come into the institution, after you've been there a week or so, you go through what they call aptitude conduct of these aptitude tests, while they correctly emphasize the fact that every human being has talents, and one must take the talents one has in order to develop them, the fact is that they emphasize the manual talents rather than the mental or other facilities of a human being. So without a relationship to the kind of authority that exists, yeah. which I consider as a very backward in comparison to men's institutions.
Now that would be one of the most important points.
Yes, I'm going to deal with that because that impressed me right away. Mm-hmm. Now, I generally entered into these tests with series with contempt, precisely because when I took my test, I was with women who, many of whom were semi-literate, women with different backgrounds than myself, and also with some who had college education, which I didn't have. And I obviously felt that these tests could not correctly estimate what were the talents of these people. A peculiar thing occurred in Maradona. I came out highest, way above average, in precisely the thing that I was doing all my life.
What was that?
Speaking, writing, lecturing.
Oh.
Literary talents.
That showed in the aptitude.
I was way above average in that. And way above
average. Really, they come out so justly, though.
Yeah, but generally they don't. However, in my instance, I was told that since I was a Smith actor, and there was pressure of the press not to give soft jobs to communists. Even the remark being made, just imagine what Walter Winchell would say. I was told from the very beginning that I could not get a teaching job, even though I was prepared to teach. And as I indicated to them, I was perhaps a very good teacher, better than they have on the campus. Secondly, that I could not get a job in the library, because there was fear that I would have too direct contacts with the inmates, and therefore, could propagandize them, even though I indicated that this was not the place that I wanted to conduct any propaganda, since we were not kind of training for the outside do they give, and I want to enumerate some of the jobs. They have maintenance. And they have a maintenance class. You get a diploma in domestic work. This is a job of dust scrubbing and cleaning. And in many instances, it consists of a higher percentage of the Negro women than the white. So the cottages, coming in twice a week into a cottage and giving it an additional cleaning beyond that which the young women who live in the cottage do. This includes cleaning certain of the places that are not taken care of by the inmates. It is a scrubbing, washing, polishing job all day long. It's domestic labor of the type that today even a domestic worker wouldn't do, because she would use more up-to-date conveniences. After all, there are you don't even have the proper soaps in order to conduct a second job. That takes a good number of the women. The second job is the bakery. The bakery consists, I believe, about 18 women. That's considered an elite job. It also has a bakery class, which teaches them general bakery work. Now this is the place where the bakery provides the institution with bread, with rolls, with the buns once in a while, etc. So what the young women learn is not even the fancy type of baking, but the type of baking that is only done in, today, large bakeries, on a mass scale, so that even then they are not able to get anything but the hardest type of labor. On the outside, because it doesn't even have the kind of skill that is taught them in the bakery, where they do a lot of
mixing.
That's right. But you are rather taught something that on the outside is already done by machinery. Mm-hmm.
and therefore only an unskilled job could you get on the outside. Second. Third is the storehouse. The storehouse is also considered an elite job, primarily because of the fact that there is a generally good relationship that exists inside, and people like to go to the storehouse. But the storehouse, with few exceptions, is hard labor. You have young women who man the truck, two young women who deliver the groceries to the kitchens, deliver the bread to the kitchens. Now, a grocery basket can contain as much as 60 to 70 pounds of stuff. Now, they are constantly lifting these heavy baskets, piling them into the truck, taking them out of the truck and bringing them into the kitchens, constantly day to day. One of the first things, and for this, they choose relatively strong young women. To me, it was a shock. And why? Because I constantly worried about the fact of what would happen to these young women doing this kind of work in relationship to their ability to have youngsters.
But
all of the people in the storehouse have to help in unloading the freight cars or the trucks that come in with large amounts of
and they don't have carts.
Yes, there are carts, but you have to lift them off the trucks, put them on carts, bring them in, then lift them off the carts and pile them up. So you are lifted constantly. Even though you can't, you wheel a cart where the girl is participating, and it's true that the boss, who is not a officer, but is a hired government employee, helps. He's a big man, and maybe works harder than the other women, but he should. But nevertheless, I have seen tens of thousands of pounds taken out at one time from a truck and piled up. And the women handled the meat in the same way as any butcher shop. The meat comes in sections, and they are cut by the women and weighed by the women, etc. Now certainly, and they have a class for butchers too, but to what extent does that class prepare them for the outside? That's the third. The fourth is the kitchens. The kitchens employ probably the largest percentage of women, with perhaps the exception of the garment and the needle trade shops. At one time, Alderson used to have kitchens in every cottage, and the women would eat in the same cottage in which they lived. At the present time, there is an average of three cottages eating in one kitchen. In the kitchen, you have 12, 14 women working, and they feed between 125 to 175 women a day, three times a day. Now, they have a broken up minimum 12-hour day. They must be at work about 20 minutes of 7, and they seldom get through with work until 7 or 7:30. So it's a minimum 12-hour day, even though they have a few breaks during the day. They work under a kitchen officer, who is also the officer of the cottage during that period. But the inmates do everything.
There's a cook, an assistant cook, a vegetable cook, a pastry cook, a diet cook, the peelers of vegetables, the dishwashers, etc. The women do all of that. And it is, I must say, a real job of sweat. Particularly during the hot summer days when those kitchens are unbearable.
But what young woman wants to be a dishwasher when she comes out? They do not train you to be a cook. If you are a good cook, thank goodness, you will cook well for the young women. But if you're a poor cook, you just do the job very automatically because it's a pretty, the cook has a very responsible and very long job and has to be around almost all the time.
They don't?
Teaches them cooking. But every one of those people, in addition to whatever assignment they have in the kitchen,
scrub the walls.
So the same people do that.
Same people. To scrub the walls, to scrub the porch outside, which is wood, to keep the refrigerators clean, to do all of, which in a home is limited, as part of which. Now the farm group consists of two sections. One is those that live in a special cottage that takes care of the dairy, the cows, the milking, and so on. And then the other, which takes care of the vegetables and the fruit. Now, Olson prides itself on being self-sufficient when it comes to milk. And I must admit, I didn't see them. I was going to go on one of his visits. The farm cottage is about a mile and a half away from where the other cottages are. And the night that the orientation was going, I was not too well, and so didn't go along.
And somehow or other, never managed, because it's away from the oppressive influence of the rest of the cottages. They're so far removed that the administration is on top of them all the time. But it's hard work. The young women get up at 4 o'clock in the morning from the dairy without breakfast, have to milk the cows and take care of the cows. And the pigs, oh yes, pigs too, it's a piggery.
And they have a break during the day, but because it's out in the open, and it's not as, you're not under the eye of the officer every minute, young women from the entire place who assist in picking the vegetables and the fruit when it's grown, or keeping the, well, the vegetable gardens and orchards in good order. Advise the farm, who are not officers. They are, again, hired personnel. And then there is an officer in the cottage, and an officer that also works with the women. In other words, you're compelled to have an officer together with these men. But it's hard work, unfortunately. Then there, the garden group are the young women that are chosen to keep the lawns in order, mowing of the lawns, cutting the shrubs.
Why do you have power motors for that? I hope they don't use the old pushing motors too.
And there are some serious accidents that often take place with the young women. I saw one while I was there. And it's also a job that is liked. Again, not because it prepares them from the outside, but you're up in the open and you are working different parts of the area, and you again don't feel.
You can get the kind of all power motors.
That's right. You do. You do get an opportunity. You don't feel the discipline.
That must be the paint group.
The what? Paint group.
Paint.
Yeah, that's those who paint the cottages. The roofs inside.
Mm-hmm.
The outside. The fences and so on. Well, this is supposed to be a good job. We also have a class on how to study painting. But again, as many of the young women ask me, what kind of a job can I get on the outside? Well, the papers union take women in. In fact, Elizabeth is supposed to, and I was asked by some to find out whether the union would take them in. But again, is that a job that a young woman would want on the outside? Then there are the two inductees. Now, on all of these jobs, you can get, based on the goodwill of the officer and your own hard labor, get meritorious days. Which means extra days a month in addition to your statutory days. And if there is money, you also get meritorious pay, which starts at $10 in the school building. This is the job which teaches young women weaving, pottery, all again, on hand looms. It's lovely work, and it's easy work. They usually have people who are ill there. This Puerto Rican woman we spoke about, who spoke to Eunice, was in there. Elizabeth was finally sent there. Claudia was there, working part-time.
and so on. It's an easy job, and it has a little more fascination to it than the jobs I've described. But again, it is not a job that prepares one for work on the outside. It may give one an opportunity to spend some of your extra hours on the outside to do spinning on a weaving on a hand loom, as some of them no doubt will. Then there are the two industrial jobs. That is, jobs that automatically give you industrial days and pay. And they have four grades. When you reach first grade, you can earn up to $40 a month. The question of having some money is a very big problem there, and I'll raise it afterwards. And it does, women want that job. Now, the industrial, the garment shop produces prison goods for other prisons. Shirts, overalls, handkerchiefs, etc. And they are a profit-making institution. In other words, the garment shop makes money. But the young women work 8 hours a day at a power machine. And I mean work with norms set for production which are high. In other words, in order to get from your, first of all, you're there on a trial period for 2 weeks. It's only then that you begin to automatically get your days and your pay. And you start with $10 a month. But in order to get a higher grade, which obviously one would want, there are high norms set of what you have to produce, so that it's a speed-up institution in order to make you produce more. However, despite the noise and the speed-up character, women want to get into the garment shop because it does give them some money. And this is not an unimportant question. But again, one must ask, that is true, there are garment shops in the country, and this does help you to get a job at a garment shop. But nowadays, as you indicated before in connection with Jackie, certainly a young woman with interest in going places doesn't want to work in the place where her mother worked or grandmother worked, or like she wants something better than that. So again, it doesn't offer an improvement in her social status. It sort of reduces her to a status that she must accept because she happens to come from a certain section of the population. Then that's a very hot, again, that laundry. And not only washes the clothes of the institution, but also does the institution work of the nearby institutions. And is also so-called a paid proposition. I don't think there's any money exchange, but there's a credit system which is worked out between federal institutions. And, that's terribly hard work. I mean, most of this is standing on your feet, working with a heavy iron. The few office jobs there are, and that's limited. There are office jobs in the school building. I mean, there's a coding room, by the way, which does the coding.
What's that?
Well, they records of prisoners.
Oh.
And they do the coding not only for the institution, but also for others. The coding room, the library, those who work around the journal of the institution that comes out every few 4 months or quarterly, and so on. Then there is the administration building, which has technical work, and the storehouse has two technical people. Well, you have some who know little bookkeeping who are used there, stenography, typing, and so on. But it's a very limited number. They also have typing classes, and they have stenographic classes. But I had several experiences with the young women who are going to the typing classes, who told me that all you do is you just sit there and type, but there's no, that the teacher just comes in once in a blue moon. There's no real personal assistance given to improve the typing quality of the individuals. Insofar as stenography, one of the young women told me, I gave her more than 5 minutes than she got in her class for months. And the only reason is that I explained to her the pot inspiration, nothing. And I maintained, as I told Langer and Van Dusen, that
a complete overhaul has to take place of the trading system and the kind of jobs offered if we are serious about the whole question of rehabilitation. And to me, even such things as encouraging correspondence courses, they are not encouraged in the women's penitentiary. I understand they are in the men's. And I made no effort in order to get approval.
Pressure on the outside
and pressure on the inside. I mentioned in this instance one young woman who took a journalist correspondence course, who is the type of a Jackie, a brilliant youngster who was in there for having married 14 men and taking their installment checks in the army, but who had a background of some training and had a capacity to write. And so she fought it through and she finally got it, but it took her 6 months. Proven to us that there were no classes available for us because our tests indicated that we were above a high school level, and this despite the fact that I had not gone to high school. I approached the then head of the school, who is at the present time assistant warden, who came to discuss the results of my tests with me, and informed me that there were no classes, and so I indicated I would take the class in Spanish and music appreciation. And then I said to her, well, I'm one of those people that determined not to allow my mind to be stultified while I was here, and therefore I have decided that I would utilize my spare time for the purpose of acquainting myself with American literature. And I would appreciate very much if we would talk it over and see what you could suggest as to how I should approach it here. She bristled and sat up straight, and she says, now, Betty, you don't mean that, do you? She says, your and my opinion would clash just like that. She says, you don't want guidance.
Don't want what?
Guidance,
huh?
Now, I had never spoken to the woman before. Obviously, she expressed here her prejudices in relationship to a communist, and not an objective point of view in relationship to the inmate, which they claim they have once you enter there. And if she did that with me,
who knew what I wanted, you can imagine what kind of an attitude she has to those she considers so below her mental status. I barely reply, well, never mind. They have the method of some of these schools and colleges where social workers taught, send in volunteer workers for 6-8 months and so on. This, by the way, is also true of some of the Quaker schools. It's very interesting that some of the Quaker colleges, a very nice and charming young woman of about 20, I discussed this with her, and she says, and I said, I wish to goodness I knew where I could get hold of a college syllabus. I was not acquainted with jobs that helped to lower dignity and had no real striving or training. Nurses' aides. Now, that also is considered a choice job. But the nurses' aides, well, they're given a class in nurses' aid. As the doctor himself put it, it's a glorified maintenance job in the hospital.
And even the dirty work.
And even then, in many cases, they investigate the families.
No, they do.
But it's more or less automatic to get that. Anybody else from the outside, friends of yours, or people of standing, takes months and months to get approved because they investigate them and as you say, intimidate them. Elizabeth was more fortunate than we were, that she right from the beginning began to put up a fight for other people to write to her, and she finally succeeded in getting Robert Morris Lovett and Clem France to write to her, and Muriel Salvington, so that she at least had a little bit of the
treat the people, because it undignified on the outside in the manner in which they
live. If a person like Jackie got 6 letters a month,
it would help them.
Certainly.
It would help them. And in fact, I
have even the most elementary humane creatures, and that feel have any compassion for one's fellow being. I place it in the following manner, that there's every attempt made to reduce your dignity, and if you have it, to destroy it and to build it. First of all, everyone is treated on a certain backward norm. You are automatically thieves, liars, people who violated laws, and therefore you are below the rung of human beings. Now it is true, you no longer have numbers as you did in the old days. You are not called by numbers, but actually you are a number while you're there. One of the things that strikes you that is good is that in a very short period of time, the key personnel knows the first name of every person in the institution, and you're rather amazed that they're able to do it. Well, that's good. But the use of the first name has an indignity to it, particularly when a 20-year-old will call a woman like Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, Elizabeth. And as long as you have the title of officer or volunteer officer, you have to be called Miss, and you call the women, whether you're 14 or 70, by the first name. The inmates, of their own volition, very often try to break it down the relationship to some prisoners. For instance, there were many attempts to use Miss before my first name, but I discouraged it because I didn't want to be selected out. And also because this was very characteristic of some of the southern young women who lived in an atmosphere of white supremacy, and I wouldn't have it. But in connection with Elizabeth, I felt it was almost a must. And yet, she didn't get that kind of treatment by the officers. I mean, she was just Elizabeth, like everybody else. A very interesting thing happened with Elizabeth, which was related to me by one of the women in her college who worked with me, a young woman by the name of Barbara, and this was just before I left. She says, we love Elizabeth. She says, she's a great woman. We have seldom come in contact with that type of woman in our lives. She says, and I want to inform you that almost all of us call her Miss Flynn. She says, in fact, this was an automatic process in our college, to the point where many of the officers unconsciously began to call Elizabeth Miss Flynn too, and were so happy about it. But this is word of the officer is the truth, the word of the inmate is the lie. They will never accept the word of an inmate, even if that inmate is speaking the truth, as against the word of an officer. So that sort of destroys even honest strivings on the part of these young people. There is a great deal, I don't care what human beings get together, and even though there are some bad characteristics come to the fore of exploiting others, you know, and of that's not the dominant note in the relationships of the women there. The dominant note is of being warm with each other and being elated when some good things happen to other young women. But this is not encouraged. Any warmth expressed, and I'm not now speaking about sexual relations, but any warmth, any close friendships are immediately suspect. And they are immediately, every effort is made to destroy them.
The most obnoxious of this whole business is the facade of politeness
that covers the relationship of the officers to the inmates, and then the club and the intimidation that is the actual basis of authority. Now, when the institution was first established, the woman who became warden by the name of Harris had certain, what I call, progressive ideas in relationship to the establishment of the prison. She recognized that discipline was important, because discipline is important in any institution, even in a school. But she recognized that the best discipline is the discipline that is self-imposed and that has the cooperation of the inmates. And so in the early stages of that institution, she developed what she called the self-government system. And from what I read about it, it was rather an interesting method.
Where did you read about it?
I will give you the title of the book when I brought it, the title with me. I thought you'd be interested in it. She was, by the way, a woman who had been warden of a whole number of women's sections. And this was her first assignment to a completely women's jail because it was the first one. She has one chapter in this book, Prisons I've Been Hit, I believe is the name of title of it, on all this. Now, as I remember vaguely, her system was to function on the basis of the elected in various colleges. In other words, if you're there a certain, when you first came in, and after 3 months, you were elected as a member into the council, and then the council elected a committee that ran the college together.